Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our prayer meeting. It's a joy to have all of you here with us today. So today we will continue with the topic on the Holy Spirit. And our text is taken from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. And the title is To Be Born Again, Regeneration. So reading from John chapter 3, verses 1 onwards. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? "Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us and for revealing yourself to us and your truth, God. And we thank you that through Jesus Christ, through the death and the resurrection of Jesus, we now have this eternal life that is found in him. And God, as we explore more, Lord, about being born again, about being born in water and in flesh, in spirit, we pray, Lord, that you teach us to allow ourselves, Lord, to regenerate by the Holy Spirit. God, we just invite you, Lord, to speak to our hearts today. Come and do your work in our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the narrative starts with this man, Nicodemus, coming to Jesus one night. So we know that Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He is a member of the Jewish ruling, which probably is the Sanhedrin. So that means that he is a part of the elite group of leaders and teachers of the law who were very familiar with scriptures, with the Old Testament. So when Nicodemus came, he was not like some of the Pharisees who came to Jesus to trap or to test Jesus, but Nicodemus came with a sincere curiosity. But what happened is when Nicodemus approached Jesus, he had preconceived criteria as to what God's kingdom looked like. So he came to Jesus and then he said to Jesus that the signs that you perform, Jesus, show that God is with you, that you come from God. So Nicodemus' conclusion that God being with Jesus was actually correct, but Jesus confronted his preconceived ideas about the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus saw the signs that Jesus performed, and then he claims that he can see this is the work of God happening in the miracles that Jesus was performing. But at the same time, he saw Jesus only as a rabbi, as a teacher, and he missed out on the most important element of all. He couldn't see that Jesus is the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Messiah that all scriptures had pointed to. So when he see the signs, actually these signs were meant to point people to God, to the one who is performing the signs, to Jesus, telling the people that Jesus is fulfilling the scriptures as the messianic king. So when confronting Nicodemus, Jesus is telling him that you think you know what the kingdom of God looks like, but you are not seeing anything because you are not allowing God to show you, because you have preconceived ideas and expectations. And then Jesus insisted that no one can see the kingdom of God, the work of his salvation, his reign, unless the person is born again. So verse 3 says, Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." So when we look at this again, according to the Jewish beliefs, to see the kingdom of God was to participate in God's kingdom at the end of time. So to have eternal, to have resurrection life at the end. So their focus was on the afterlife. And when we think about it, we sometimes also make that mistake. We tend to think that our salvation, Christianity, eternal life is about what happens when we die. So it becomes a consolation that after death, we will make it to heaven. But when Jesus taught about the kingdom of God, it was not exclusively about the future. Of course, there will be a future consummation of the kingdom of God in the second coming of Jesus. Things will be completely different at that time. But Jesus also focuses on how the kingdom of God is taking place in the present time, how God is working in his people's life, in the church, how his work is expanding throughout the world. And this is important to God, right? And he says that to be part of the kingdom, we need to be born again. So again, on one hand, the Jewish, it was the Jewish belief system that all Jews would be admitted to the kingdom of God, except for those who are guilty of intentional apostasy or extraordinary wickedness. So they believe that they are descendants of Abraham. They are God's chosen people. They obey his laws. So therefore, they will be welcome into the kingdom of God. But what Jesus is telling Nicodemus is that he cannot enter the kingdom of God unless he is born again. So when this happens, the question that arises is, if Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a member of the Sanhedrin, the most respected group of teachers, leaders in Israel, if he cannot enter the kingdom of God, then who can? So this was a very difficult thing for Nicodemus or any of the Jews who are listening to grasp. And I think I can say for all of us as well, when we look into our past, we are all very thankful that Jesus has saved us. We are grateful that God has brought us out of our sins. God has given us new life. But what happens is after a while, we can become like Nicodemus. We begin to feel that, hey, we are actually not very bad people. We don't necessarily need God to save us anymore. We seem to be able to do our life by ourselves. We can get by. And in fact, we can get by quite well. So we sort of learn how to live life, keeping God in a specific place. So we see God's work happening, but we are not seeing Jesus for who he is. We are not having him as our Lord and our Savior. So Jesus confronted Nicodemus. And if we have these kind of thoughts, which we sometimes do, Jesus confronts us as well. The truth is, no matter how established we think we are, no matter how well our life seems to be going, and whether or not we actually think we need God, Jesus said that we all need to be born again to enter the kingdom of God. So no one is exempted. Not the most religious people, not the most successful people, not even those who think that they do not need God. So everyone needs to be born again. So what does being born again mean? In verse 4, Nicodemus asks, "How can someone be born when they are old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." So Nicodemus does not see how someone in their old age can simply be born again. So his response is not that because he didn't understand what Jesus was saying, but he actually questioned the possibility of it. He knew Jesus was using a metaphor, so he replied back in a metaphor. So although at this point, Nicodemus, his beliefs are different, he understood that Jesus meant that no one is good enough to enter the kingdom of God And that every person needs to be born again. Every person needs to start over. We need to have a new beginning. So the metaphor of a physical birth, it actually represents new beginning, new life. But Nicodemus cannot see a way that people can really start over, can have new birth, a new beginning. Because we all have lived our lives with all the good and all the bad we have done. There is no way to go back in time and change or erase our past. So the pillar New Testament commentary says the common ingredient of the verb to be born is generation or regeneration. The coming of the kingdom at the end can be described as the regeneration of the world. But here, what is required is the regeneration of individual before the end of the world and in order to enter the kingdom. So what it means is to be born again means regeneration. Just as there will be a new heaven and a new earth when Jesus comes back, a regeneration of the world where God will make all things right through the judgment and through the rule of Jesus. There is also a regeneration in our lives where God will renew us and God will make things right in our lives when we enthron Christ as the King and the Lord of our lives, when we submit to his rule. And that is the regeneration that is needed before we can enter the regenerated kingdom of God. Okay. And then, And then the word again also means from above, implying that new birth must come from heaven. So Jesus is saying that this new birth, this new regeneration must be the work of God, the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so in the prologue of the Gospel of John, John wrote in John chapter 1, verses 12 to 13, he says, "Yet to all who did receive him," him is Jesus, "to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision of a husband's will, but born of God." So the phrase "born of God" is similar to what we are looking at. It emphasizes the work of God, not man. So it is God's will. It is God's work. So when we put these verses together, we see that to be born again, to be born from above, means the same things as to become children of God, to be born of God. And how it happens is by believing in the name of Jesus, the incarnate Word of God. So what it means is all of us need new birth. We need regeneration. And this is the work of the Spirit in our lives. So even Nicodemus, a prestigious leader of Israel, he cannot enter the kingdom of God with all his works and his standings, but he needs a radical transformation. He needs the regeneration of a new life. And John Calvin puts it this way. By the term born again, he means not the amendment of a part, but the renewal of the whole nature. Hence, it follows that there is nothing in us that is not defective. So it is not simply some behavioral changes, and it is not simply just stopping some bad habits or starting some good ones, but it is a renewal of our entire being, our mind, our soul, our actions. And this happens when we choose to believe and put our trust in the name of Jesus. So in order to be born again, to experience this regeneration of our whole being, what happens is we must receive Jesus into our lives as our Savior, and we make him as our Lord. So many of us, we come to Jesus because we have certain needs in our lives, certain areas of our lives. And in the Gospels, we see how Jesus was always generous and kind to serve people, regardless of whether they actually deserve of the healing, the miracles, the provisions. So many who had their needs met eventually actually disappeared back into their lives without following Jesus. But Jesus has always challenged the people that it is more than just a particular area of need that needs to be healed, that needs to change, but their whole spiritual being. And that is the reason Jesus came, to bring spiritual healing and restoration to all mankind. So we all have certain areas in our lives that we need God's healing, we need God's deliverance and provisions. And Jesus does care for those areas of our lives. But what Jesus points us to is the need of this new birth for regeneration of our spiritual being. When regeneration happens, then it flows actually towards all the parts of our lives, the different parts of our lives, and it transforms every part of our life. If you remember in one of my in my Sunday sermon a few weeks ago, I shared about this person, about her learning to surrender to God when God called her to work with a certain group of people. And as she learned to give up her security and her need for control, and she learned to trust God, God's regeneration work begins to happen not only in that area of her job, of her calling, but it affects every part of her life. So it affects her parenting, it affects her relationship, it brings freedom and joy and strength in every areas of her life. And this is the kind of regeneration that God gives, the transformation of the whole being of a person. It doesn't mean that we will always work out every part of our lives immediately after this regeneration, but there is a process of sanctification. There is a process of transformation in our lives. So regeneration is taking place all the time because the Holy Spirit is in us. And when we allow God to work in our lives, He will regenerate us in every part of our lives. And then in verse 5, Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." So when you put the whole passage together, actually there's a parallel between verse 3 and verse 5, and these two verses are sandwiched by Nicodemus' question in verse 4. So being born again also means being born of water and the Spirit. So when you look at the whole passage, one thing that Jesus kept rebuking Nicodemus was that he was a teacher of the law, and yet he doesn't understand these things. Why Jesus said that is because the things that Jesus was teaching were from the scriptures in the Old Testament. And as an expert of the scriptures, Nicodemus was expected to know these things. So when we want to understand what born again means, what born of water and the Spirit means, we need to refer to the Old Testament. And there are quite a few passages that speak about this, but the clearest is from Ezekiel chapter 36. And in verse 25 to 27, it says, God says, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." So Ezekiel chapter 36 speaks about the new covenant that God promises his people, a time where he will cleanse all their impurities, their sins with water, and then they will give them a new heart, a transformation of heart through the impartation of the Spirit of God. And this will enable them to follow God wholeheartedly. So born of water and spirit signals a new birth, a regeneration that cleanses, renews, and transforms. So the Old Testament prophets look forward to a time like this. They know that this is going to happen. However, they hope that it would be a corporate renewal, as it has always been in the Old Testament, where the whole nation of Israel would be restored. But God's focus was on the transformation of individuals, the transformation of each person, each heart, where the children of God, each of them will no longer have a heart of stone, but a heart of flesh to hunger for God and to fulfill God's will, to obey Him. And then the passage in the chapter after Ezekiel 36 is the vision God gave Ezekiel of the valley of dry bones. in chapter 37. So in the vision, God's people were the dry bones who were dead. They were far away from God. They had abandoned him for idolatry. They had disobeyed him. And they were suffering the consequences of rejecting God. So they became dry bones. But when Israel repents, God said he will make his breath, his spirit, enter these dry bones, and the bones will revive. And that signifies that as God breathes his spirit into the people, they will come back to life. God's spirit gives life. And likewise, when we chose life without God, we are lifeless. We are dead within us. We are spiritually dead. So we suffer the consequences of replacing God with other things. And we have to live with the consequences of being enslaved by our idols. So we become dry bones without the Spirit of God. But as we repent and when we turn to God, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we are regenerated, we are renewed, we are born again, we are born from above, we are born of God, we become children of God. And God replaces our hearts of stone with hearts of flesh. And in Jeremiah 31, verse 33, he says, he puts his law in our minds and write it in on our hearts so that we will desire to love God and obey him. In our lives, very often, the problem is not that we do not know what to do. We do not know what God is saying to us, or we do not know what God is asking us of us. Most of the time, the problem is we are stubborn. We have hearts of stone. So we know, but we don't want to. So there are certain things that we do not want to give up. Idols that we refuse to give to God. When we come before God and allow him to regenerate us, actually what the Holy Spirit does is he puts his truth in us, in our hearts, in our minds. And he helps us see that these things are not healthy for us. He helps us see that God is greater and better than anything that we are holding on to. And then he helps us change our desires to learn to surrender to him. It will be a struggle because it is against what the world advertises. And there will be a battle between the spirit and our carnal flesh. And there will also be warfare because the devil will not easily let us go. But the Spirit of God empowers us. So he fills us with the love of God. He gives us the supernatural grace and strength that we need. And then he sends us people who would spur and encourage us. We all know how hard it is to repent, to let go, to surrender, to change. But what we need to remember is we are never left alone to do it with our own willpower. Because whenever we do that, we fail. But the Spirit of God does this transforming work in our hearts, in our minds. And our role is to trust God enough to allow him to do that transformation in our lives. Our role is to let go of our will, of our control, even of what we think we want to change. And we let God take the wheel. We let God decide. We let God do his work. And then it continues in verse 9, says, how can this be, Nicodemus asks. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. So Jesus moved from explaining about the new birth in a narrative, a new birth to a narrative. And this narrative is taken from Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 to 9. So in that account, God had delivered the Israelites from the slavery in Egypt. And now he is bringing them to the promised land that flows with milk and honey. But as the Israelites were in the wilderness, they complained at every turn when they face a problem. They complained the lack of food, the lack of water, the lack of comfort, the lack of security, the repeat of food. And even after God had given them food, water, shelter, victory over their enemies again and again, the Israelites continued with their murmurs and complaints. So in Numbers chapter 21, God punished them by sending venomous snakes. Many died. But when the Israelites repented, the Lord asked Moses to make a bronze snake to put on a pole as a means of salvation. So anyone who was bitten, look at it, and then they lived. So the Israelites were punished of their sins of persistence, ingratitude, and complaining. But God was gracious, and by his provision, he used the bronze snake on a pole to bring healing and give new physical life to those who sin against him. And similarly, we are men and women who deserve punishment for our sins. But God's gracious provision was demonstrated when the Son of Man was lifted up on the cross. His death and resurrection was a provision for us sinners. It was to give us new spiritual life, regenerated, renewed eternal life in the kingdom of God with Christ. So Nicodemus was right that we cannot go back and erase our past sins and regrets. But what Jesus is offering us is more than that. He is not offering us to go back to redo our lives perfectly so that we can pass, we can meet the standard. But what he offers us is to completely wipe out our sins and regrets. And he gives us a new life when we look at the cross, when we learn to trust in Jesus. We are cleansed through the blood of Jesus from all our sins and iniquities, and we are given transformation of our hearts through the work of the Holy Spirit within us. So in verse 9, Nicodemus, in honesty, he asks a very important question: how can this happen? Jesus' answers was that we can enter the kingdom of God. We can experience new birth, new regenerated life. We can have eternal life starting from now when we put our faith on the Son of Man, who through sacrificing his life on the cross, he bought us salvation for each of us. So when we receive Christ into our lives, when we enthrone him as Lord over our lives, we enter the kingdom of God when we make the king of the kingdom our own king. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So in closing, I just want to say, in Genesis 1, in the beginning, right, the Spirit of God was hovering over the formless, empty, and dark earth. And then God eventually filled the darkness with light. And then in John chapter 3, verse 2, if you remember, Nicodemus came in the night to Jesus. So in the Gospel, John often talks about night more than just the physical darkness. He was also implying that Nicodemus, though he was a learned spiritual leader of Israel, he was a man in spiritual darkness. He was in need of the Spirit of God to expose that darkness with light that comes from God's truth. So eventually, God's light did penetrate into Nicodemus' darkness, and he repented and followed Christ. We saw that when Jesus, during the death of Jesus at the cross, he came and he buried Jesus. And the truth is, we are all Nicodemuses. The Holy Spirit is hovering over the dark chaos of our lives. And we need him to renew us, to regenerate us, to make us a new creation in Christ. And that is God's will for us. That is God's invitation for us to enter the kingdom of God. So we're going to go into a time of prayer. I just want to encourage you to just take some time to think about your lives, to think about how this regeneration is working in our lives. You know, sometimes we are so focused on one area of our lives. So we are so focused on the lack, the need that we have. And we have been coming to God again and again just because of this one part. But God does want to speak to every part of our lives. And there are areas that we may not be aware of, but there are also areas that we have been very stubborn of. And God is not asking us to use our own willpower to change those things, because it's not going to be possible. It is tough. It is difficult. It is fighting against our own flesh. What God is inviting us is that we come before Him. We let go of our control. We let go of our expectation. We let go of what we think we need to do. And then we let God set the pace for us. We let God heal us completely. We let God tell us what is important, what is the priority. And then we ask God for that strength to obey, that courage to obey, because we know that it is not easy to follow Him. It is not easy to carry our crosses, but it's not easy to die to ourselves. So I just want to encourage you to take some time. And after that, we are going to pray for some of our the items that's listed here. And again, I encourage you to take any items here or anything that is in your heart to pray for those items. The election is coming. Christmas is coming. Let's pray for one another. Let's pray for the church. Let's pray for our nation. So let's just spend some time quiet in quietness, just reflecting, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You that You have given us the Holy Spirit to be our advocate, to be our comforter, to be our convictor, to be our consoler, to be our help. We thank You, Lord, it is through the Holy Spirit there can be regeneration, there can be transformation in our hearts, Lord. But we recognize, Lord, it is not just a certain part of our lives that need change, but every part of our lives, Lord. We recognize, Lord, that we are still struggling with our sins, with our flesh, even though You have saved us, Lord. But the good news is, Lord, there is a constant, continuous renewal in our lives. The Holy Spirit is doing His work in our lives. And we pray, Lord, that we will respond. We will obey. We will allow, Lord, sanctification work to happen in our lives, God. So I pray, Lord, for each person here. Pray for everyone in the church, that if there is any pattern, there's any cycle that we are engaged in that is hard to break, Lord, we just surrender to You, God. We want to give up these bad habits, Lord. We want to give up these behaviors and actions or thoughts that is making us destroy our own lives, making us stepping away from You, destroying the people around us, God. We pray, Lord, that You help us see, Lord, the goodness, the faithfulness in You, God. We pray, Lord, that You help us see, Lord, how we can just come before You and allow You to change, God. And we pray, God, for areas that we are not even aware of, Lord, the bitterness that we have held on to, the unforgiveness, the things that we have held on against people, past memories that we have, and even in ourselves, Lord, if we have not forgiven ourselves, if we are still angry with ourselves, or even with You, Lord, if we are angry with You, you are upset that you have not allowed certain things, or you were, if you have allowed certain bad things that has happened. God, we just ask that the Holy Spirit will come and renew and bring healing and restoration, God. We ask for your regeneration work to happen in each of us, God, that cleansing to take place, that we will be able to let go of all the idols that we hold on to, Lord. Help us repent, Lord. Help us not run to another thing that will give us comfort, but help us to run towards you, Lord, that you alone will give that complete healing and restoration and that good and abundant life in you, God. And we pray also, Lord, as we come to you, that you will write your laws, your truth in our hearts, in our minds, Lord. That as we meditate upon your word, O Lord, that it will renew our minds, that it will transform our lives, Lord, that we will learn to desire more of you, God, that we will learn to be in your presence each day because it fulfills us, because we will learn to receive your love, because we will be able to have meaningful relationship with you and with people. So teach us, Lord, that we will desire more of you. We will desire more of your word. We will desire to do what you have called us to do. We will desire to obey your will. We will desire to put you first and to put our lives at your disposal. Entering the kingdom of God, doing your work, God. So we thank you for this privilege. We thank you for this blessing. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we want to praise you. We want to thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We want to thank you, Lord, for being with us. We do want to pray, Lord, for the coming elections. Dear Lord, we look to you, Lord. We pray that your church have a very clear understanding that it is you who are enthroned above all things, above all powers and principalities and government. And we look to you, Lord. It is you who build. It is you, Lord, who remove. And we pray, Lord, that in your mercy, that you would look to this nation, that you would place, Lord, the right people so that your church, that your people may spread the gospel, that there will be peace so that your work will be done, that there will be favor, Lord, Father, that we can understand and move out, dear Lord, and reach out to others. We pray, Lord, Father, for a leadership that will open doors for unity, for kindness, for compassion and justice. So we come to you, Lord, for your blessing, for your favor. Dear Lord, we also want to thank you that you are speaking to this church, Lord. You are speaking to us as we pray. You are putting in our hearts, Lord, the desire to press on, to move out, Lord, to reach out the community, to share, to disciple, to help others. And we come before you, Lord, for grace. We come before you, Lord, for the power to do so. We come before you for the wisdom to do so. We come before you, Lord, for the favor, Lord, to open doors, so that we can have those conversations, so that we can do acts of kindness and mercy, so we could show, Lord, your goodness to others. Dear Lord, let us believe in this season. Let us persist, Lord, in this call. Let us be, Lord, the people who will love others with your love. And dear God, as we have heard today, the most amazing part of being your children is to be loved by you as children, dear Lord. And we pray that that love will always shape our hearts, shape our thinking, shape our understanding, Lord, even when we are shamed, even when we are rejected, even when we are opposed, Lord. Let your love, Lord, shape our responses, Lord, in this time, in this place. Let your love, Lord, and help us understand, Lord, how to use the many resources and the gifts we have. Let your love, Lord, define our ambitions and our desires, Lord, so that we may love others as you have loved us, Lord. We thank you, Father. We want to thank you that we have brought us together in your name. continue, Lord, to speak to us and guide us and lead us, Lord. Bless every person. Renew us, Lord, Father. And also we want to thank you for the many miracles that has taken place in our lives through these prayers. We really glorify your name and we are so grateful, Lord. And we thank you for this place of prayer, Lord, Father. We ask you to bless this, that it will grow, that we will grow deeper, Lord, in our understanding on how to wait on you and to seek your face as a church, Lord. We thank you, Father. We give you all glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.